Hi. That's right, I'm an addict.
What's up, guys?
I thought I was going to have more time. There's only two readings what happened. It's really an honor and a privilege to be asked to serve Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I hate speaking. I'm so nervous right now.
It's all right.
Thank you. my clean date's February 24th, 2011. And I tell you that because, like, if an addict like me can stay clean for that amount of time, anybody can. And I also tell you that because I've managed to go 11 and a half years without ever speaking at something like this. So up until today, I've dodged the bullet. So I'm really insanely nervous. And there's not even that many people here, which is cool. But I was told my topic was sponsorship, so I'm just going to go with that and see what happens. I had some really good shit to say in the shower this morning, and I don't remember a damn thing. But, you know, I have a sponsor. I've had a few sponsors during my time in Narcotics Anonymous. I am a sponsor. I've had quite a few sponsees since I've been here. And still, like, sitting here, my disease tells me I'm not qualified to be here, that I don't have anything worthwhile to say. And so I'm trying to sort of get over that. Because, like, this place is so special to me, this retreat, this camp is so special to me because, like, I remember, like, I was on the programming committee 10 years ago here, and I remember, like, things that were said in these meetings 10 years ago, and they still stick with me today, and I'm like, I don't have anything like that to say. So, we'll see. But I think sponsorship is such an important topic, too. It's so important because they say, you know, sponsorship is the heartbeat of our program, and I find that to be so true. I guess I'll tell you a little bit about my experience with having a sponsor first. When I first came to Narcotics Anonymous in Indiana, there was like three women that came to meetings, so pickings were slim. My first sponsor, she pretty much told me that she was going to be my sponsor. And I will tell you that if anyone tells you, hey, I'm going to be your sponsor, run. Run. At that time, I didn't have a job, I didn't have a car, I didn't have a license, I lived with my parents. And this woman, she also didn't work, but she picked me up from my parents' house every day, and we, like, worked in her garden and did shit, and she got me out of my head. And so she was what I needed at that time. Now, I had about 6 months clean, and it was retreat time. That sponsor relapsed. And I didn't understand how that could happen. I'm like, but she's my sponsor. She doesn't. They don't relapse. But she did. But I was really lucky because I had an amazing home group, and I didn't get another sponsor for months after that. But those guys sponsored me, essentially, for a long time. And I came to this retreat without a sponsor for the first time. And I think I found my next sponsor here. And that woman, we had so much in common. We were both single mothers. She had her child at the same age that I had my child. She got clean the same age I got clean. And so I thought it was a perfect fit. My first sponsor, I went through the first three steps with, and then she relapsed. My second sponsor, I went through steps 1 through 5 with, and then she relapsed. So at this point, I'm starting to think maybe it's me. But it wasn't. And I will say that, I was told that a sponsor's job is to guide you through the steps, and anything else is a bonus. But I was lucky from the second sponsor on that I got so much more than that. That second sponsor taught me, especially in doing the fifth step, that I was able to trust another person. When I was telling her these things that I was so ashamed of, like, her response was, me too. And not like, oh my God. So, and then after that sponsor had used, I had grown a little weary, as you can imagine. And I, my third sponsor was a woman that I had known from the very beginning of my recovery. She lived in the same town as me. She had a lot of clean time. And I asked her to be my sponsor. So we started working through the steps from the beginning again. So at that point, I had done like steps 1 through 3 like 3 times, and then steps 1 through 5 like twice. And we worked out of like that gray historic book. And this woman, she was very like no nonsense. And all the guys in my life at that time were like, they loved me enough to hurt my feelings if that meant saving my life. And I'm grateful for that. These people hurt my feelings a lot telling me about myself, and that was okay. So I had that sponsor for quite a while, but she started to get sick, and she wasn't really in a place where she could sponsor me anymore. And she died a couple of years ago clean. Yeah, it was tough. But the sponsor I have now is truly amazing. She's taught me that I can tell the truth and still be kind. She's taught me that honesty without compassion is abuse. And she's helped me like to be softer. And I struggle with that sometimes. Like, I'm still kind of a bitch. But my sponsor helps. And, you know, I think all the sponsors I had have come just at the right time, and I've gotten what I needed at that time. Like, 5 years ago, I was engaged before to someone who was also in recovery, and he had been using, and I was either in very deep denial or didn't know, I don't know. And he died of an overdose, and my daughter and I found him. And so when that happened, of course, you know, the police and all that stuff. So when I got home from the police station after like being questioned like a criminal after the biggest, most traumatic experience of my life, my sponsor, who lived in Pittsburgh, was at my house sitting on the couch. And I didn't tell her, but she was just there. And that was exactly what I needed at that time. And she's always been there for everything ever since. I also sponsor women, and those women were there for that too. Like, this one woman that I sponsored at that time, I laid on my couch for a real long time, and that woman came over and like cleaned my bathroom and like entertained my kid. It was another sponsor that I had went with me to my daughter's cheer practices. You know, so yeah, our job is to work the steps together, but I definitely got more out of that than just working the steps. Also, I remember, again, at this retreat, I asked a woman to speak. It was when I was in programming. The topic was intimacy and relationships, okay? So the person that I picked to speak was someone that was in, when I was new, not even new, still new at like a year and a half, but when I heard intimacy and relationships, I thought romantic relationships, right? So I asked a woman to speak who was in a long-term romantic relationship that I thought was healthy, whatever. So that's why I asked her to speak. So I went to that meeting, and when she talked about intimacy and relationships, she did not mention her romantic relationship. She maybe glossed over it, but she talked about her relationship with her sponsor and her sponsees, and how that relationship helped her to have a relationship with her children and her family, and then a relationship with her significant other. And that really stuck with me. Because for me, like, the first intimate relationship I had was with my sponsor. Like, that's intimacy. Like, being able to go over a fifth step, that's intimacy. Telling someone these secrets about myself, that's intimate. When my sponsor was at my house after my fiance died, that was intimacy. The sponsor I have now, you know, in the step working guide, in the fourth step, when there's that question, like, is there anything that you didn't say yet, or something like that? Oh, there was a thing. And there was this one thing. At that point, I had been through the fourth and fifth step like three times, and I did not say that thing to any of my previous sponsors. But for some reason, the woman that I have now, I'm like, I didn't write it down either. I didn't write it down. But I'm like, all right, here we go. And I said it to her, and she was wonderful. And she hugged me, and we talked about it. That's intimacy. You know, our bodies can be naked with anyone, but our souls being naked, that's something. That's intimacy. And I have that with my sponsor, and I have that with my sponsees. Another woman that spoke at this retreat, same year, I was really good at picking speakers. For the women's round, she was talking about how she was in the delivery room when one of her sponsees gave birth. And for some reason, that really stuck with me. Little did I know, years later, I have been in the delivery room for three different babies. Two of the same sponsee, one a different sponsee, but holy shit, that's intimacy. I was in there, man. you know, the fact that like these women trusted me to be in that room for one of the most vulnerable experiences of their lives, like, that's like the most beautiful thing in the whole world. And for someone who came into these rooms, I don't know why I do this, but someone who came into these rooms and said, I don't like women, you know? I don't trust women. Women are catty bitches. I only hang out with dudes, like many of us do. Like, all of my intimate friendships are with women today, and that's because I learned through working steps with a sponsor that how I see the world is a reflection of how I see myself. So I knew when I came in here that I was not trustworthy. I knew when I came in here I was a backstabbing catty little bitch. And so I just assumed that all other women were like me. And as I grew through working the steps with the sponsor and I became trustworthy, I became able to trust other people, other women. As I became dependable, I learned that I can depend on other people, other women. And that's a truly beautiful thing. And as much as I love my sponsor, I love being a sponsor so much. It's truly an incredible thing. Like the girls the women I sponsor today, help me so much more than I could ever help them. The first time doing a fifth step with someone, again, that intimacy, feeling like, holy shit, this person trusts me with this. And man, I've earned it. I've earned this trust. That's a really amazing thing. And, you know, I've had some sponsees that have like moved on and gotten other sponsors. And one of them, actually, I'm better friends with now that she has a different sponsor than I was before. But at the time, I was real butthurt. When she got a new sponsor very shortly after my fiance died, and you know, I was in no place to be anyone's sponsor at that time. But she got a new sponsor because she was really close to him too and needed to talk about that, and I was not the person. But now we're closer than we were when I was her sponsor. And I'm telling you that because a lot of people still get their feelings hurt if someone gets a new sponsor. And I would like to address the term firing when referring to sponsors. I've heard people say, oh, I fired this person as my sponsor. Stop it. Like, I've never fired a sponsor. I really dislike that term. No one's paying me. I don't because, you know, sometimes, like, because when I say, like, if when I've got fired as an employee, which I have, it implies that I was not doing my job and that I was let go. But when I have moved on from a different sponsor, it's just because we've grown in different directions and I'm in a different place, and that's okay. Because we all grow differently here. Oh, we're good. So, I feel like I'm just rambling at this point, so you're just going to have to fill up some time, Kevin. But I will say, if you're here and you don't have a sponsor, you should probably get one. Because that's what we do here, and it is the most beautiful form of intimacy that I've ever had. So thank you guys for listening to me ramble, and I love you all so much. Thank you.
Kevin W. from Turning Point, also in Indiana.
I'm Kevin on
Addicts.
First off, I'd like to thank the committee. It's always an honor and a privilege to serve NA. Unlike Desiree, I didn't get to skate by a whole long way being clean without speaking at one of these events. My clean date's March 2nd, 2020. Sponsorship and accountability. My story was, I didn't know me and Desiree had like a pretty common story with our sponsors relapsing. I've had a couple goes at recovery. I managed to put together like 5 years back in like the early 2000s. And I ended up relapsing with a sponsee. And then I stayed out for a long time. In between like 2003 to 2008, I put them 5 years together. I went to prison for 5 years from like the end of 2008 to 2014. No clean time in prison. I definitely used in prison. I came home and I could get like 6 months. And I would show up to meetings, but like I was that dude that sat in the back. I didn't talk. I didn't get a sponsor. I had like really no motivation to like stay clean. It was basically my state parole officer was like, you gotta go to this many a week. So I did. You know what I mean? I skated by with the bare minimum. Went back to jail and I got out in 2017 and I was like, I showed up like back to like the area I was from and like these people that were there years ago were still there. And I was like, man, like what are they doing that I'm not? And it's like everything basically. I stepped up, like I got a home group, I got a sponsor, and like, no matter like how hard I try, like I couldn't like give in and like just do what the hell people were suggesting of me. I always thought I knew what was best for me, and I can tell you how that turned out. Not well. Anytime like I try to live on like my will, and nothing works out in my favor. And that is like a very repetitive pattern that is in my life. So anyway, 2017, I get a sponsor, I get a home group, and like my sponsor was just a name. And I managed to put like 18 months together. In that time, the sponsor that I had picked didn't know the guy, like ended up like a lot of the stuff like with me, like changing sponsors is my own shit. Nothing that them people did. It was me just trying to think of an excuse to not do what I needed to do for myself. So I got another sponsor, and it's funny, I was talking to him last night. He took me to a convention in 2019. Had like, I don't know, 14 months clean or something, and every time I see him, he always brings it up. Like, at this convention, like I was cool Friday night, cool all day Saturday, ran into an old using buddy that was still using at the convention, and I ended up relapsing at the convention while I'm staying in an Airbnb with a guy that has like 30 years clean. And I heard about it the whole 2.5 hour ride home from here. So I ended up staying out for like 3 months. Went back to treatment in January 2020. I had let go of that sponsor because he called me out on my bullshit about using. Because I'm the guy that like will get high and still go to meetings and still pick up key tags and like act like life is great when really like it's turmoil. So like let go of that sponsor, got another one who was like around my age, you know, that like showed up, but I felt like me looking at him, I was like, oh, he's me, you know what I mean? Like not seeing what he does in his everyday life, just seeing what he does in the meetings. So I call him, it was like beginning of January, my dad had passed away and from a direct result of this disease. And I was like, I need to go to treatment. He was like, all right, we'll go. So I go to treatment. While I'm in there, I'm calling him every day. Any excuse to use the phone in treatment, I'm using. You know what I mean? I gotta call my sponsor. You know what I mean? So, like, I called him every day, was talking to him, you know, and he had me, like, start, like, doing a little bit of, like, step one. And I'm like, okay. So I'm in there, and, like, I had, like, no intentions on staying. Like, it was just an oil change, and I was out. And so I went to, like, short term, and then I was, like, on my way home. And luckily I know somebody who works at the last treatment facility I went to, and I was like, you got an hour to come get me or somebody come find me in New Kensington. You know what I mean? And they were there when I got there. And I went to another treatment facility for long term. And while I was in there, like, I don't know what happened, like that light bulb clicked and it was like, I can't go back home and like do anything but get high. So like I decided to go to a three-quarter house. So I get out of treatment, I get out March 25th, day before like COVID shut everything down. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, and like, it was crazy because my disease was telling me like I have every single excuse in the book to get high. There's no open meetings. Like I don't know nobody where I'm going to. Like anything you could think of was going through my head. So I go, and the night before I left, I talked to my sponsor. I'm like, he's like, I'm going to come up tomorrow. We'll go over that step one. Like, you know, like I'll take you to go get stuff you need or whatever. So I get out, I get there, I call him. He was like, hey, you're going to have to find another sponsor I used last night. And I was like, oh, this is like perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know nobody up here. There's no meetings to go to meet anybody, like to try to get another sponsor. And I was like, I was like mad at like whatever I thought my higher power should have been. I'm like, I'm trying to do everything right and you just keep screwing me over. You know what I mean? Like, when really like life happens. So I ended up like getting in the three-quarter house. And like, I'm like asking dudes, I'm like, hey, you know, I think I need a sponsor. Like, anybody got somebody's phone number? Like, I can call, like, maybe just ask them. Don't care if I know them or not. And I got a phone number of a guy. And I called, I asked him. Little did I know that I knew him from, like, him working in a previous treatment center that I was in. But, like, the name didn't click. And he was my sponsor for about 7 months. And, like, at first, like, I was calling every day, like, all gung-ho about it. And then, like, I got a job, and I started, like, slacking on calling him. Again, my own shit. Like, the dude had his own life going on. And, you know, one time he don't answer, I'm like, oh, well, this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I need somebody to talk to. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, I'm in a three-quarter house with, like, 40 other guys, like, that I could, like, easily go talk to. But, like, I put expectations on somebody, and every time I put if I put expectations on somebody, that's just setting myself up for failure, because everybody's human. So, meetings started opening back up, and, like, again, my own shit was, like, holding something against this guy for nothing that he did. And like, so I decided to change sponsors. So the first guy that I had asked actually was the manager of my three-quarter house. He was like, I'm not able to sponsor yet. And I mean, I know a lot of sponsorship families are different. Mine is, you got to work a fourth and a fifth step to sponsor people. So I knew we were like, we talked a lot, and I knew when he was doing his four steps. So like, I'm like watching the clock. I'm like, all right, well, he's got to be driving back from South Park now after going over this fifth step. So I call him, and I'm like, hey, I was like, you done with that fifth step yet? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I need a sponsor, dude. I was like, would you sponsor me? He was like, damn, dude, can I get home first? And I'm like, yeah, no. So I looked up to the guy. He was like doing a lot of things in his life that like I admired, and like that everybody always told me, like, find somebody that like you want what they have. And it wasn't material things. It was like I seen how he interacted with people. I seen the relationships he had in his life. I seen how he carried himself. And he's still my sponsor today. Through like working some steps and stuff, because again, even with him, the, like my own shit, you know what I mean? Like, oh, like what the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, he's not answering when I call, and like people are busy. Like, and like now, like that I sponsor dudes, like I understand why they weren't answering. Like, I run a tree service. Like, I am like on the road from 7 a.m. to like 6 p.m. and like sometimes it's hard to answer. Saying that, I'll say this, that's why they say get a Wii, because your sponsor is not always going to be available. And like my Wii has saved me more times than I can count. And like I always get like watery eyes when I talk about my Wii, because like when I first came, there was no meetings, and like you know, these, my home group still showed up. You know what I mean? It might not have been like a conventional meeting, but they were there. And they truly, I believe, saved my life, because like there was nothing else. So like, as much as I love like being a sponsee, I love being a sponsor too. It's crazy to me, like, so like some of my sponsees, do, you know, they're like in it, you know, step work, they call me, you know what I mean? And then I got like them sponsees that like don't call me, and like I might be just a name, I don't know what they're thinking. But going over step work with sponsees is an experience. It's like, as much as I trust my sponsor to tell him anything, you know, it's a very humbling experience to have sponsees that trust you to tell you like what they're putting in their step work. I was talking to somebody the other day, like, and I'm like, dude, I gotta speak at this retreat, like what? Like on sponsorship and accountability. And they said that way before I got clean, there was a guy that spoke, and it was like he was talking about the difference between like a sponsorship and a dictatorship. And like when he said that, I was like, damn, that is like a good ass analogy. Like, as a sponsor, I'm not gonna tell you what to do. I'll make suggestions, and most of the suggestions that I tell my sponsees are from experience. Like, this is a program of suggestions. You know, it says in our literature, you know, we're not therapists, banks, there's like a list. I'm not a big literature buff. I read the literature, but like I can read a whole book, and then you could ask me tomorrow what it was about, and I couldn't tell you. I'm like a hands-on type dude. Like I learn from, you know, hands-on and pain. I learn from pain, and trust me. I think like sponsorship and accountability go hand in hand. When I mess up, I call my sponsor, and he like definitely tells me about myself, and like, you know, like I'll try any other way to make it sound like I wasn't wrong and any other person in the situation was the wrong one. And he was like, stop bullshitting me. Like, what did you do? You know what I mean? And I'm like, fuck, all right, you know. And like, I need that, because I can't hold myself accountable. I'll blame every other person in my life before I try to like take the blame for something. I mean, and so like, and that's where like I can see that this program works in my life. It's the growth. Because like, you know, nowadays, like, not all the time, I'm not perfect, but a lot of the times, like, I do take accountability. And I own up to my shit. And I'm honest, even when it makes me look bad. Yeah, I mean, so I like to say that Desiree already said it, but I'm just going to reiterate it. If you're here and you don't get a sponsor, or if you don't have a sponsor, I would highly suggest getting one. And if you're new here, stay. It works. I think that's all I got.